Everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, today's Gospel once again shows us how great a master of the spoken word our Lord was. The setup opens almost like a joke. A Pharisee and a publican went up to the temple. But the parable's lesson is timeless. A repentant sinner is more pleasing to God than a proud man who fancies himself to be so. In this parable, the Pharisee did not really make a prayer, but he congratulated himself warmly for not having any of the grosser vices, only too common among men. He is not a robber, nor an unjust, nor carnal man. The sight of the despised publican reassured the Pharisee that he was not like the rest of men. As a matter of fact, he did a lot of good things, but he also quickly went into details about them in his so-called prayer. Dear faithful, in our times a Christian, much like the despised publican of today's gospel, is more often than not slapped with all sorts of negative labels. Words such as bigoted, arrogant, exclusive, or dogmatic are just a few. But probably most used is intolerant. Christians are regarded as intolerant religiously, that is, thinking that, God forbid, their religion is the true one and the others are false. I'm sure all of you have been faced with that accusation in one form or another, but we are by no means the first ones of this kind. This past week, we commemorated Saint Eusebius of Rome, who so much opposed the emperor who denied Christ's divinity that he was forbidden to say Mass in the churches of Rome. But he continued to say Mass in his home, and for this he was imprisoned and died as a martyr. But the world also regards a Christian intolerant ethically, because a Christian refuses to approve any and all behaviors as good. And this the world cannot stand and will not tolerate. A Christian who condemns his neighbor's bad behavior, for example, his sins of impurity, is in today's world guaranteed to be greeted with accusations like, "Haven't you ever sinned?" Or, "Do you think you're a saint?" Or, "Who are you to judge?" This is exactly the answer the Pharisee of the Gospel would have given had he been reproved. The Pharisee first enumerated the grave sins which he had not committed and which he was sure the publican had. And then he catalogued the good works he had been so careful to perform, as if the Almighty God would not know them already. The Pharisee of the parable set himself on a pinnacle above all other men, minimizing his own sins, but magnifying the sinfulness of the publican, for whom he had utmost contempt. This kind of attitude, a Pharisaical conduct, is a temptation which is truly very difficult to resist, even for a Christian. But the Church has never tolerated this kind of action and has always preached and judged Pharisaical conduct, even when this judgment has drawn the wrath of the world upon her. I'll tell you an example from France, where our fathers Maguire and McKenna just visited. France was once a great Catholic kingdom, but unfortunately many of its kings, much like Solomon, who later fell to wicked life, thought themselves being above the rules of God. King Louis XV, who ruled in the 18th century, just before the revolution, once became dangerously ill, but the Bishop of Soissons, who lived in the king's palace, refused to give him last sacraments unless the king would abandon his immoral life and made a declaration of penitence in the presence of his family. King Louis first did this, but when he recovered, he, forgetting his promise to the bishop, again turned back to his immoralities and dismissed this pesky bishop to his diocese. But the bishop kept warning the king about his sins and of the inevitable result of continuing to live such an immoral life. Unfortunately, all this was in vain. The king continued his loose life till the end of his days. Few weeks before his death, he fell sick with smallpox, which got so bad that his face was blackened and deformed by scabs. His death agony lasted hours, and after he finally died, everyone was so afraid of his body because of contamination that instead of balsam, some alcohol and quicklime were poured into his coffin. Dear faithful, a Christian must always guard himself against pride. He cannot let himself to become like a Pharisee who related to God all the good works he had performed and implied that Almighty God must be very glad to have such a valuable servant as himself. How horrible was the punishment from pride which fell on King Louis. This man was a descendant of Saint Louis IX, who, when held captive by infidels, bare the daily insults and humiliations by a calm air of majesty which kept his guards in awe. But how crudely Louis XV dismissed the reprobations of his bishop, asking no pardon, because just like the Pharisee, he imagined himself to be a perfect servant of God, above the sinfulness reserved for common man. This king certainly didn't think that the bishop was a man to judge the way he lived. The people of hardened heart, like this king, dear faithful, are the ones who ask, "Who are you to judge?" Their possible good works do nothing to them because they don't practice them with a conviction of their guilt before God and in a spirit of penance. They have no longing for the Redeemer and ask no pardon because pride has completely blinded them, and inside their heart is as black as Louis XV's body was outside. But how opposite to these Pharisees and the mighty ones was the publican of the gospel. He didn't start to scheme in his heart that how does that cocky Pharisee dare to stand there upright and self-conscious. No, he was not one bit interested about the Pharisee. Instead, he prayed his God, whom he himself had offended by sin, and he prayed, as the gospel says, afar off. He didn't feel the need to have a brisky handshake of peace with the others, but went afar off, behind the other worshippers, because this humbled publican did not consider himself worthy to even go near them, not to mention near God. He struck his breast, this way expressing that he was only worthy of the punishment in the hands of God. He neither extolled nor excused himself, but confessed his guilt and implored pardon. So we need to be on guard. We need to ask, do we take pleasure in giving others praise and encouragement, or is it more pleasing to us to find fault in them? No virtue is of any value in God's sight without humility. We owe to God everything we are or have or can do. Let us thank God and not offend him by pride. In our own dying agony, how much we hope that there is a priest at our bedside, giving us the balsam of extreme unction and absolution from our sins. There was a priest next to King Louis' deathbed, so I hope he made a publican confession of his sins. He must have felt much like King Antiochus, who fiercely persecuted the Jews during the Maccabean Wars, and who was punished with the sickness and torture of body very similar to Louis XV, and of whom the Bible says, "And the man that thought a little before that he could reach to the stars of heaven, no man could now endure to carry for the intolerable stench. And by this means, being brought from his great pride, he began to come to the knowledge of himself, being admonished by the scourge of God, his pains increasing every moment. And when he himself could not now abide his own stench, he spoke thus, 'It is just to be subject to God, and that a mortal man should not equal himself to God.'" So, dear faithful, learn from today's gospel to humble yourself. Learn how fallible and weak are temporal kings, and how great and immovable is our Christ the King. This King will one day exalt the humble, and he can move even the hardened hearts. The great and wise King Solomon, who in his old days, as St. Paul writes today, went to dumb idols, and who was so greatly humbled in his later years, wrote these touching words to us as immortal reminder: "He that loveth cleanness of heart for the grace of his lips shall have the King for his friend." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.